Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 1 through 12. This is the word of the Lord. He led me to the gate facing east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the east. And the sound of his coming was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And the vision I saw was just like the vision that I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and just like the vision that I had seen by the Kabar Canal. And I fell on my face. As the glory of the Lord entered the temple by the gate facing east, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. For the man was standing beside me, I heard one speaking to me out of the temple, and he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the people of Israel forever. And the house of Israel shall no more defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings by their whoring, and by the dead bodies of their kings at their high places, by setting their threshold by my threshold, and their doorposts beside my doorposts, with only a wall between me and them. They have defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. So I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their whoring and the dead bodies of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. As for you, son of man, describe to the house of Israel the temple, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and they shall measure the plan. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple, its arrangement, its exits, and its entrances, that is, its whole design. And make known to them as well all its statutes, and its whole design, and all its laws, and write it down in their sight, so that they may observe all its laws, and all its statutes, and carry them out. This is the law of the temple, the whole territory on the top of the mountain all around, shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts of the work of your Spirit, we may know better your Son. We ask in his name. Amen. The temple shown to Ezekiel was a new temple, for the first temple had been destroyed. And why was it destroyed? It was destroyed because the people of God had defiled it. And how did they defile it? They defiled it by their idolatry. The people defiled themselves by neglecting the worship of the Lord at his temple in preference to the worship of idols at the high places. And they defiled the temple by bringing those idols into the temple, worshiping them even there. They set the threshold of their idols by the threshold of the sanctuary, with only a wall between them. Idols, dead bodies of rulers. We find both of these crimes described for us in the days of Manasseh, a king of Judah who did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Evil so great that the Lord swore that he would wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 3. For Manasseh rebuilt the high places that Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. The people defiled themselves by the worship of idols at the high places. And they defiled the temple by bringing those idols to the sanctuary. It was a denial of the great confession of the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The people gave to another what belonged to him alone. That is why he refers to their idolatry as their whoring. For the Lord was a husband to his people, but they whored after others and were not faithful to him. This is why we may speak of the temple as the body of the Lord. Remember what the Apostle Paul says in his first letter to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Verse 18, the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Now, in the context of marriage, he sins not only against his own body, but also against the body of his wife. For his own body no longer exists apart from hers, but the two have become one flesh. A husband's sexual immorality is a transgression against the sanctity of his wife's body. And so it is with idolatry. It is a transgression against the holiness of the sanctuary. It is the defiling of the Lord's body. For as a husband is one with his wife, so the Lord is one with his people. And just as the one flesh of husband and wife may be torn asunder by the sin of sexual immorality, so the temple of the Lord was destroyed
on account of the people's idolatry. Yet even in the midst of wrath, grace may be found. Here we find a grace greater than our sin. Grace that is able to heal what is wounded, to mend what is broken, to restore what is lost. For the Lord shows to Ezekiel not only the temple destroyed, but he shows to him a new temple, a new body, a new covenant, a new marriage. That temple is found on a very high mountain, the highest of high places, a place that has been cleansed of idolatry and sexual immorality. And that realm at the top of that mountain, it not only includes the most holy place, but that realm is itself a most holy place. This is the law of the temple. The whole territory on the top of the mountain all around shall be most holy. We find the greatness of God's grace. For the glory of the new temple is greater than the glory of the old. It is not only new, it is better. A better temple, a better body, a better covenant, a better marriage. Such is the grace of the Lord. Not only does it make all things new, His grace makes all things greater. We see the greatness of this temple, not only by what is shown, but also by what is not shown. We see the greatness of His grace, not only by what we see, but also by what we do not see. We noted before that Ezekiel is never shown the Ark of the Covenant. And we said that this cannot be insignificant, for the ark was the most significant feature of the tabernacle and the first temple. It was set in the most holy place. It was God's seat in the midst of His people. For there He was enthroned upon the cherubim. As we read in Numbers chapter 7, verse 89, "And when Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he heard the voice speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the ark of the testimony, from between the two cherubim. He spoke to him." We hear something similar in our passage. We hear something similar in Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 6. And I heard one speaking to me out of the temple. There is no question as to who this one is. For in verse 5, we saw the glory of the Lord fill the temple. It is the Lord who says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of my people forever." But how is it the place of his throne if the ark is not there? Here we find the greatness of this temple. Here we find the greatness of its glory and the greatness of its grace. For its throne is not an earthly throne. The throne of that temple is the throne of heaven itself. For what do we find with the coming of the glory of the God of Israel? We are told that the vision was like the vision that Ezekiel had first seen when the Lord first appeared to him in exile. How is the glory of the Lord described in that first vision? His coming is described like lightning. His appearance is described like the bow in a cloud. We find him coming seated upon a throne, and that throne upon four living creatures, the faces of a human and a lion and an ox and an eagle. The glory that Ezekiel saw at first, he now sees again filling the temple. The coming of the Lord in Ezekiel's vision, it is the coming of the Lord on the throne of heaven. This is the very vision that we find of heaven in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 2, where we hear of John, "At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne, and around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures. The first like a lion, the second like an ox, the third with the face of a man, and the fourth like an eagle in flight." The vision of glory that John saw in heaven, it is the same vision that Ezekiel saw entering the temple. What John sees in heaven, Ezekiel sees in this temple. Ezekiel sees the Lord come upon the throne of heaven. He sees this temple become the throne of heaven. It becomes the place of God's one heavenly throne. "This is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of my people forever." Truly, the glory of this new temple is greater than the glory of the first. It is as much greater as the glory of heaven is greater than the glory of earth. Here we find a temple that cannot be made by man, but one that must be given to man, as the Lord himself declares. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? The house that is shown to Ezekiel. It is prepared by the Lord for his people. It is built in love. And it is given in grace. As the Lord descends from heaven upon his throne, with the living creatures of heaven around him, to dwell in the midst of his people. It is heaven on earth. It is God with man. We will never find the fulfillment of this vision, the building made with human hands. It cannot be built by human hands. We find the fulfillment of this vision in Christ. And in his church. For consider how his coming is described to us. He will come like lightning. He will come in the glory of his Father. He will come on the clouds of heaven. He will come with the holy angels. The coming of Christ is described for us in the very likeness of Ezekiel's vision. And for what reason will he come? He will come to dwell in the midst of his people. Ezekiel's vision of the coming of the glory of the Lord. It is the very same vision of the coming of Christ at the end of this world. The vision does not only speak of things yet to come. It also speaks of things that now are. For by the power and blessing of his Spirit, the resurrected and ascended Christ has already made his church the dwelling place of God on earth. The Lord is the glory in our midst. And so even now, the church is a most holy place. The law of the temple, it is the law of the church. The whole of it, all around, shall be most holy. And so this vision leaves us with a question. This law asks us a question. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? As the temple was the body of the Lord, so the church is the body of Christ. You have been saved that you may no more defile his holy name. Do we not transgress the sanctity of his body when we neglect his worship at his house? Do we not transgress the sanctity of his body when we give ourselves to sexual immorality? Do we not transgress the sanctity of his body when we worship him as we would like him to be and not as he really is? Or when we worship him in a way that is pleasing to us, but is not pleasing to him? Is this not the sin of idolatry? The law of the temple. It is the law of Christ's body. All of it, all around, within, and without, is most holy. And as he is our husband, and as we are his bride, we are one flesh with him. Our bodies are his, and his body is ours. To ponder the design of the temple that Ezekiel was shown, our gaze is drawn to the body of Christ, that we may consider its holiness. And as we consider the body of Christ, as we consider its holiness, we are to be led to shame for our iniquities. We are to be ashamed for the ways in which we have transgressed the holiness of his body, for the ways in which we have neglected him and his worship, for the ways in which we have given ourselves to what is false and profane. But do not despair. For with his holiness, we find his grace. As he is most holy, so also his grace is most great. In the body, the Holy One bore our sins in the body. He suffered our shame. His body is life-giving, for from its side flows the water and the blood, water that washes us, blood that cleanses us. The church is his work. He will sanctify her. He will make her most holy. We have this promise according to his grace. Let us then turn from all that defiles. Let us seek that holiness in him. This is the law of the temple. This is the law of Christ. This is the law of the church. Amen.